Chapter 4. She believed she had been born on a factory floor. She could not testify to this because no one had ever verified what happened or where. It had been an event without corroborating witnesses. She only knew that her mother took an odd pleasure in insisting this is how her daughter's life began. One exceptionally hot day, long after the world had come crashing down and tens of thousands of people had fled for escape routes that were already closed, the woman named Sharon gave birth in an abandoned building and named what came out of her nectar. It was as strange a name as the circumstances of their lives. "Why did you name me Nectar?" she once asked her mother, before the woman had gone off to scavenge one more time and never returned. Nectar was still a child, possibly 10 years old, but with the sharpness of mind that would be feared among her peers. If it could be said she truly had any. By the time she killed her first man at 16. "Everything good was dead," her mother had replied, emptying her stained and stinking scavenger's bag of the half dozen things she'd managed to take from a few corpses. Nectar remembered a lovely emerald ring, pulled from a dead woman's finger. It was too big for her then, but she'd kept it until her finger grew into it and she had worn it ever since. It was all she had left of her mother, or of the nameless dead woman. "You were the nectar of the gods," her mother had said, before laughing at the ridiculousness of it. "You were the nectar of me, daughter. The only good thing I've done in this life." It was a sentiment with which no one else would ever agree. "It doesn't sound like a real name," she'd replied, slipping the ring into the pocket of her jeans. She knew it was cheap and worthless, which was why her mother had not demanded it back. She didn't care. It was her ring now, and it would come to symbolize her past and future. Taking it from her finger, even if the finger was still attached, would become the proof demanded years later by the forces who wanted to defeat her. "You mean like Emily? Or Teresa?" her mother said. "Why would you want to go through life with a name a million other girls have? You're special, I do believe that. You deserve a special name." "What did my father think of it?" Her mother said nothing. It was one of many times Nectar had asked about her father, hoping to finally get answers. "It doesn't matter what he thought of it," her mother finally said. "I didn't ask him. He left us. I gave birth to you alone, on a factory floor." "What did they make there again?" "Windows, girl, I've told you that before. I made windows for recreational vehicles when I wasn't much older than you are now." Nectar had no idea what a recreational vehicle was, and she had never asked. "One after another, piecework, it was a shit job with shit pay." "What happened?" Her mother stared at her as if she were the dimmest child who'd ever lived. Waving her arms around, she said, "This happened, to me and you and everyone else." "Was my father with you?" "No, and I was glad of it. The only thing that could have made your birth worse was having that man around." Nectar didn't even know her father's name. Her mother had never called him anything but that man. "And your father," when she was being generous. She had not described him in any way. Nectar had even wondered, though she would not dare ask, if her mother really knew who her father was. She'd known her mother did things for men. You had to survive through any means you could, even if providing food for your child meant trading 5 minutes of sex for it, and that it was possible her father had been one of them. "You ask too many questions," her mother had said, after turning the bag inside out to make sure she had not missed even the smallest trinket, a penny or a sequin. "It's not a good habit to have in the ruins." The area they lived in was universally known by that name. Stuck between Eastward and the slopes, it was the vast, dreadful middle where most people lived, and most of them were destined to die. Someday it would become Nectar's queendom, the ashes over which she ruled, but then it was still in its relative infancy. People had hoped that someday the world they knew about from stories told by shocked survivors and old people would return. It would rise from the garbage heap it had become. Lights would come on and stay on again. Laughter would echo off the sides of buildings. Innocent laughter, not the phlegmy cackling of down and outers. People would shop again and eat in restaurants again and play musical instruments again. Life would be good. It was a bitter dream. The last time Nectar saw her mother had been a typical dusk, like all the others. When Nectar could look up and see bats taking flight, she knew it was time for Sharon to go scavenging with the others. So many, many others. It was a way of life, if it was living at all, that involved thousands of people emerging from their squats and their burned-out trucks, their empty storefronts and their dumpsters, to take whatever they could find. The treasures would be bartered for food, cigarettes, or coffee, or simply hoarded, saved like precious rubble for the day when the old world was new again. Sharon had been promising to take Nectar with her, to teach her the ways of the alleys, but she'd said Nectar was still too young. "You're small for your age," Sharon had told her that evening, as the sky darkened and the scavengers began to slip out. "You need to learn knifing first. You have the knife I gave you?" Nectar had patted her sock, where she'd kept the small switchblade for the past few weeks. She had become proficient with it, and she looked forward to demonstrating her skill for her mother, perhaps on a rat or a belligerent boy. "Good," her mother had said. "I'll take you with me tomorrow night. How's that?" Nectar had been surprised. She'd begun to think her mother would never take her out, never instruct her in the arts of grave robbing, thievery, and self-defense. "I want that," Nectar had replied. "I'm ready." Sharon had stopped and looked at her. There was something in her lingering gaze Nectar never forgot, as if her mother had wanted to say something but lost what it was, or chosen to conceal it. "I believe you are," Sharon had said as she finished fastening her scavenge bag to her belt. "So tomorrow it is." And that was the last time Nectar saw her mother. No explanation was ever given. No body was found. Nectar was on her own.